So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here at Wrestling Weekly. Welcome, guys. Les, friend of friends, how are you this week?
you had to bring that up, didn't you? You don't have that much time.
No, we really don't.
It's been one of those, if something can go wrong, it did week for me. But anyway, I'm recording America's Got Talent because here's a great thing. There's four people down to four finalists who have talent. They don't have to kiss anybody's butt. They don't have to agree with Jerry Springer or the judges on anything. They actually can just play their talent, and which wouldn't be happening in the business I work in, which is called professional politics, better known to some people as professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Anyway, you asked me before we went on the air. No, I didn't watch SmackDown. No, I didn't watch Raw. And if those who think I pick on TNA, if the promos that I'm seeing from watching Killzone and Killzone on Spike, if the promos say, and on Impact Zone, the Steiners meet Kurt and Karen Angle.
Right.
And if they're drug testing the owners and management of TNA, then I'm watching. If not, that's insane, stupid, childish, sophomoric, and a horrible, horrible storyline. If it's somebody at the TV network doing a promo they don't quite understand. But if Karen and Kurt Angle are meeting the Steiners, do I want to see it? I absolutely do not. And if anybody that actually calls themselves a serious fan of professional wrestling is watching it, then they can stop calling themselves a serious fan of professional wrestling. Thank you very much. Now, you want to work past this or what?
We could try.
I mean, you know what? And I watched Fat March last night, and I know my friend Matty is going to be with us tonight, and
yes.
he's on the road with his former employer, and he had to do a dark match, which I also think is quite stupid. But that's neither here nor there.
Right. But I don't
think he has to prove a thing in terms of what he does in the ring to a damn soul, quite frankly.
He is nonetheless over there tonight. He's going to be on the show with us tonight.
Yeah.
Fat March was good last night, but I did speak with Matt this afternoon, and he asked that we not talk about last night's episode of Fat March. And the reason is because he's on the road. He hasn't seen it yet. So he doesn't know what happened or, you know, how they're going to edit it or anything like that. So,
well, that's it. Throw some roadblocks at me here. Okay?
I know.
What would you like to talk about, Matt?
I can't help this. This came up this afternoon.
It's Doug's Pee Wee Football League.
But
there
we
talk about that.
No, okay. We still, you know, we have the show as a whole, of course. We still have, of course, the first two episodes that we can talk about. You know, wrestling, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So he's going to be on the show tonight. Brian Alvarez from Figure Four Newsletter, Wrestling Observer Live with Dave Meltzer. He's going to be on the program tonight, and he's going to be talking about, we're going to be doing the Hot Topics segment.
Yeah.
With him.
Yeah, yeah. Next week, I'm really looking forward to it. Alex Marvez is going to be with us.
Alex Marvez, yes.
And who is now, I don't know if you knew this or not, but my friend Alex is now the president of the NFL Writers of America.
Yes.
And I, you know, Alex did the training manual with Harley and Ricky at Steamboat Night.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Alex is a good guy, and he's a big wrestling fan, and you know, he's and I'm interested in pursuing some of these subjects with Alex because he is not under contract or trying to be under contract to anybody.
Right, he's got the NFL now.
He can actually say what's on his mind, which
yes.
is just exciting to me.
It's so, going to be fun.
Yeah, Alex is good. And we'll talk a little football, too.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I got to tell you, Les, I don't, well, we talked a little bit about this, but we are going on hiatus soon.
Yeah, you're going on hiatus. I'm going because I have to.
Right.
Because you're
I'm sending
me.
Les on hiatus. Les needs a vacation.
No. Well, actually, Doc is moving into a large mansion somewhere,
yes.
and he has to find where the bad wiring and equipment goes.
Yes.
So you won't be able to hear us anyway.
So instead instead of buying new equipment, we bought a large mansion instead.
Yes.
No, but we are going to be moving. We're going to be on hiatus for 2 weeks,
uh-huh.
The first 2 weeks of September.
Okay.
So next week, guys, our final episode before, I guess, a hiatus. And when we come back, we've got all kinds of brand new production for you
we
guys.
Do?
Yes.
Oh,
new opening, okay. new, all kinds of stuff.
Get down to the serious side, and
yes.
I started the ball rolling last week with something like this: Dewey Robinson's passing.
Yes,
the missing link. I met Dewey when back in the '60s. Never wrestled him, never worked against him in the ring, but knowing Dewey for a lot of years. Last time I actually had a chance to speak with him. Now the cancer thing, I honestly did not know anything about until he went in the hospital this
mm-hmm.
time. But the last time we spoke was not this past, well, not this year, but the past year at Cauliflower Alley in Vegas. And we were talking the last year we ran a training camp out there, and we're talking about that. And he said he felt that what he could give back to the business I give to the younger generation was, his ongoing battle with drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't read his book, he leaves not a lot to imagination in terms of that in his book. And so, the business lost another serious guy.
Yeah.
Who honestly, cared, and he was, saying too that, that still at this advanced age and after having cleaned his act up, he was, it's a day-to-day thing. Sadly, the only thing I've been addicted to is the stupid business I'm in. I do understand, trying to rid myself of it, what these guys go through. But yeah, Dewey was a very serious practitioner of the business, and although the missing link gimmick was quite out there, he took it very seriously and put a lot into the business. So, we've lost one of the real serious guys in the industry.
Yes, definitely. And that also leads to news about John Cronus that came out today.
So about enlarged heart, was that?
Yes, the medical examiner during the autopsy did find out that he had an enlarged heart. They said, of course, it could be caused by a number of health problems, complications, could be from ranging from blood pressure to genetics, something he was born with.
Well, now, as I recall, his sister made some sort of statement that they had a history of heart problems at a young age in their family, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's just, and I guess a few other male members of that their family had passed away quite young. So,
right.
Possibly that was the whole deal.
Right. And the medical examiner says she's not seen any evidence so far that would lead her to believe that it was medications or substances like steroids or anything like that. So there's still toxicology that they're waiting on and may shed some more light on it, may not.
Well, right now, the professional wrestling industry and people in the industry are under a magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what happens. It's just like I've heard about, God love him, I guess if Bronco Lubitsch had been more in the mainstream, somebody would have been saying, well, was it drugs? You know, he's only 83 years old. You know, so right. This was to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for years, and I would be among those who for years said, Jesus, it's a shame we don't get mainstream publicity for the business. Well, we're getting it now, and probably wish we weren't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's going to be. I mean, and you can't. I saw the most stupid thing in one of the weekly tattletale gossip rags possibly the reason Chris killed Nancy and Daniel was that he had become impotent and she wanted more children. I mean, and here's a story that hadn't even been talked about among those of us in the business. Somebody on bad crack or something and works for that company had come up with a story. It's just something to sell a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So we're stuck with it, you know. And
there are people out there who read The Inquirer and things like
yes.
that and believe it.
I don't tell you the truth. I don't remember which one it was. I don't think it was The Inquirer. Anyway, it was one of those things.
Yeah.
And of course, because of my involvement and you know, things like that are called to my attention, which I normally, you know, wouldn't see them anyway, but. The thing with John Cronus is we're under the microscope with everybody at this point, I guess. And I assume because of Dewey, you know, having gone public with his saying, you know, that he was an ex-alcoholic and a drug abuser, that and because of cancer, they won't be, you know, sitting around waiting to see toxicology reports or anything because it's simply, you know, that he passed away from the cancer. It finally got the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
There, like I say, talk about a tough guy. When we talked, like I say, the last time I spoke with him, which has been a little over, well, maybe 2 years ago now, there was no indication of that, no mention. So, you know, he was, you know, he had sucked it up and was doing what he could.
Right.
You know, and just keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
His heart.
Wrapping up the sad news for this week, PW Insider's reporting a memorial fund has been set up. To offset the expenses of Bryan Adams' services, Crush, of course. For those who would like to contribute, you can send your donations to the Bryan Adams Memorial and Family Fund, Bank of America, 4918 Anniston Circle, Tampa, Florida, 33647.
You know, there's something sad about the industry that there has to be something like that for somebody that's given so much to the business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
It was, wasn't that long ago. He was national TV and you know.
Right, now. Exactly. And somebody said, well, what did he do with that money? Well, you know what? That doesn't matter. He spent it like everybody. And there wasn't that much of it to begin with.
You right.
know? But, I mean, that's what you know. That's one sad thing that has come out in the past about this industry. And but it's been, you know, it doesn't take care of itself. On isolated occasions it does, and you know, but then on other occasions, I mean, you know, like this, they shouldn't even, you know, he worked for two major companies, had a good tenure, and should have been, you know, shouldn't, I mean, hey, we'll take care of that. I mean, when I say what's the price of a funeral in terms of a huge corporation, what is the price of a funeral?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So, anyway, it's sad that it has to come to that.
Yeah.
I understand it is a private service, and I think it's tomorrow.
I know it's sometime this week.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, it's, yeah. Well, you know, that's the underbelly of what we do.
Right. There is some good news, though. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that the anti-rejection medication that was given to Conan after his recent kidney replacement surgery has been helping. And it's possible he's going to get out of the hospital very soon, so that's good news for Conan.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, you know, it's, you know, that is going to lengthen his life, hopefully. And, you know, sure, that's great. That's, and on down the line, you got to wonder, you know, he was able to go into Mexico, where he's been a big star,
mm-hmm.
and get some financial help there. Mm-hmm. Plus, that surgery is half the cost there that it is here, thanks to Congress, Senate, and the medical profession in our wonderful country. to do with steroid abuse or use or, you know, or recreational drug or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm getting at is if other guys are needed that on down the line, they may not have that same option, you know. And that's not a surgery that you can go borrow a few bucks for, you know.
Right.
It's tremendously expensive, and so again, you know, if Congress, if the government has any, if they do anything, I don't want to see them run the business, as I've said before, but if they can establish a retirement fund, a medical fund, or something, or make the promotions that you know, that dominate the business, do that, then I'm up for that, you know, because of situations like this.
Definitely. Numerous media wrestling websites are confirming that the person who played the fake Triple H last night on Monday Night Raw during the King Booker segment was Chris Hamrick from
ECW. Yes, it was. I know Chris, and I thought it was, but I couldn't tell behind the nose.
Yeah, that thing took up half his face. You really couldn't tell.
I will say this: creative's not very creative, is it? It's not that they haven't done that particular shtick like 10 million times already.
I was actually waiting for a midget.
Well,
so
that was the only thing. It was somebody tall instead of doing it with a midget.
Right.
Exciting. Yeah, well, that's creative, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, give those people a raise.
Right. Speaking of creative, the fan who was in the Santino Marella segment, who asked for Marella's autograph during the so-and-so date on Raw last night, was Brian Gewirtz, the Raw's head writer.
Oh, well, I'm excited.
Thanks for
feeding me that. Now I can sleep easy. Tonight.
Yeah, he gets to write himself in the vignettes now.
Yeah, well that's wonderful. he could strip down, and if it's shame he's not real fat, he could strip down and grease his body up and wear a G-string and dance.
Right,
which is pretty entertaining. You know, if you're deaf, dumb, and blind.
Right.
I sat down and went over. Kayfabe commentaries hit another home run, as far as I'm concerned. Guest Booker, this time with Gabe Sapolsky from Ring of Honor. He rebooks the new ECW, going back to the beginning of 2006, leading into a December to Dismember that year.
Mm-hmm.
It's well worth. Again, it's if you think you well, I'm saying that if you are out, anyone listening is planning to buy a Christmas gift for anyone in the creative. End of this business with any of the major companies, make it a set. Buy this one and the one with Kevin Sullivan and send it to those people.
Mm-hmm. That's
it's if you think you're creative and most independents aren't, honestly, this is educational. You'd be surprised at some of the people he picks for the roster. You'd be surprised at how he utilizes them. But, like, one of the things I thought was very telling was the idea that to get across the point with CM Punk that he was straight edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question popped up to Gabe, well, when will you take a drink? And Gabe said, never. It's an eye for detail.
Right.
You know, like we just saw Rhino come off the wagon or some silliness.
Right.
Again, that's, you know, this guy, what's his name with the baseball bat that went after the pitcher and hit a catcher and was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon or something. Michael Vick now is going to plead out on the dog thing, and as far as I'm concerned, they can hang Michael Vick the way he tried to hang the dogs. I have no use for somebody that abuses, you know, animals like that.
Right.
Where, you know, it's not just our business. I always... As a child, and even as an adult, I agree with Charles Barkley's assessment years ago that please don't throw me up to your children as a role model because you don't know me. But you always thought it was nice to think that, on the surface anyway, you could see your kids could watch these guys and think, well, they play fair and they are fair. You know, it's sad, honestly, and with our business too, you know that. That the storylines are what they are. And you were talking about, I understand Jerry Jarrett says that he doesn't think his grandchildren should be watching either show.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
No, I didn't even hear about that
thinks
one.
Thinks it sends out the wrong. Well, you know, I told you. I said I have no problem with James Storm as a person. I have a problem with his stupid gimmick. I don't want to sit my grandchildren down and say, hey, why don't you watch this guy get drunk before he goes out and performs? Why would I want to tell somebody to do that?
Right.
And you can tell me, well, you know, it's all show, Les, and I'll say, yes, I know that, but you're also there's a thing called suspending people's disbelief, and that's what your job is.
Right.
So you're trying to make people believe that that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So make up your damn mind.
Right.
I just think the whole across the board thing is just, you know, and then of course the steroid thing with baseball and Barry Bonds' record and whether, you know, now I'm not accusing Bonds. And one of the things I'll say about baseball, I don't care what kind of drugs you take, if you can't hit a major league curve or a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, you take all the drugs in the world and it ain't going to help.
I mean,
you know, it's not if you don't have the talent. But it's just, you know, I just think it's a sad message. Well, and then the NBA with the referee that's, you know, shaving point, you know, trying to help shave points and gambling and giving tips to gamblers. And now they're saying that there may be other referees in the NBA. So, I mean, where does it end, man? I understand that there are dark areas and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, God. And with these athletes and these referees, and especially in the other in sports where there is retirement and with Vic, what's he flushed down the toilet? In terms of millions of dollars, you know, realize that his jersey was among the top 10 sellers and shoes, and Reebok has pulled those things off the market, and he's going to spend hard time in prison, and when he gets out, he's going to, you know, will he play again? Sadly, probably yes. You know, but how do you step up as an owner of a franchise, of an NFL franchise, and throw your arm around this guy's shoulder and say, hey, this is a guy representing us, our team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's frightening, you know, and I guess that's part of the old school in me, too. It comes back to the, you know, Roy Rogers' mindset of mine as a young boy, you know. You know, you've got to have somebody, so there's got to be somebody to look up to a certain degree, you know. And again, I agree with Barkley with not saying, well, you know, don't do everything because this guy's an NBA player or an NFL player, but... Mm-hmm. There's so much has happened that you know, where do you point your kids? You know, and obviously you try to set an example yourself, but, you know, and I say our business is part of that.
Right.
You know, the storylines, the goofy storylines and stuff, you know, it's, as a kid myself, you know, you looked up at the baby faces as good, solid, you know.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, take your vitamins.
No, I wasn't a child during.
I was, though.
Okay. All right.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just so, you know, and I guess it's society across the board,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just, I think it's a sad statement, that's all.
Yeah. PW Insider's reporting that WWE got some better news in regards to the rating for Saturday night's main event this last weekend. The show reportedly did a 2.5, which was way up from the 1.9 they did in June.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, of course it's not. You know, the rating's not where they want it, but...
Well, no, not that. That doesn't equal... Did they do a 10 or 11 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not... Of course, the whole picture of television is different, too.
Right. There's more channels.
Yes, exactly. And a lot more entertaining things.
Right. But it's still a 32% increase from June. So that's good, and it may stop NBC from... Because I think after June, after the horrible rating that they got in June, NBC was like, you know, we're going to do these contracted shows, and then they're out of here.
Yeah.
If they keep raising this, they might say, hey, well, maybe we should think about it again.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I want to say it's a shame because Saturday night main event is more hokey than Monday Night Raw or SmackDown.
I thought this weekend's was actually decent.
Okay.
It's not 80s... Saturday night's main event or nothing by
or
60s any stretch
or 70s, which was even better
by any stretch of the means, but
right.
It was better than Raw.
Well, and your point,
right?
And your point. Well,
I guess we're grading on a curve now.
My friend Vince's studliness doesn't for some why anybody's going to spend $40 on Sunday night in conjunction with that.
Right.
I really don't see it. I'm sorry.
Because we'll find out Monday.
I don't care who Studley is. It is. I mean, it's not personal. You know, if you told me, well, hey, on Monday, on Sunday night, you can find out P. Diddy's illegitimate child is, or Bruce Springsteen. I don't care. It's not, you know,
mm-hmm.
I read it in the rags.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, who cares?
Right. And and whoever it is, I mean, you'll find out Monday.
Yeah. Okay.
On
Rob. Good.
I mean, now, what could they give us on Sunday that we're not going to find out about on Monday? Or...
Well, you know what? Actually, good solid wrestling.
There's right.
There's a clever idea.
There you go. There you go. A match that people want to see.
Yeah. Or a build to it, maybe. That would even be clever.
I was kind of disappointed with the build. This was the go-home show last night to SummerSlam. And it really didn't do anything more to convince me that I want to see Orton and Cena take
right.
each other on.
Well, it goes back to when we had Kevin Sullivan on the show, right? Take your time and build this. You know, give me something to sink my teeth into.
It was an attempt.
Well, I mentioned Killzone on Spike, which if you haven't seen it, it's about these guys from the Army who got back together and they go to make a big heist on a bank and it goes bad on them and just out of, but not, you know, due to little goofy things that happen and they end up with hostages and they're stuck in the bank. And anyway, but it's the storyline's got, you know, it's a build. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't wait till the next installment.
Right.
And, you know, there's shows like that. And that's why you watch them. That's why they keep coming back.
You want to see, you want them to want to know
give
what's
me a reason
going,
to want to watch, yes.
Right. You want them to want to know what's going to happen.
And when I say all these things, I'm like, oh, well, the old SOB, he's just mad because he's not,
right.
not making $1 million. No, it's not that. I'm mad because they're bastardizing, prostituting my business. That's what
right.
I'm mad about.
But here's what I think, though. It's something that you want them to want to know, of course, but... It has to be something that they want to experience
well,
and not just
it's
know
be
about.
Something that you, yeah, exactly. Well, see, that, and that's the thing. Your studliness is not going to make me buy a pay-per-view, okay?
Right.
Or whether Ashley's having an affair with Charlie Jones. I don't even care. You know,
mm-hmm.
or crap like that is just crap like that.
It's
why,
not.
Why are people buying UFC? Why did they buy De La Hoya and Mayfield?
Right, to see it.
I mean, Mayfield, Mayweather. Because they gave them a reason to, because it was a competition between two fighters or two, you know, I mean, there's a,
right.
you know, why are you going to buy the Super Bowl? Because you've basically got a 16-week build to it, right?
Right. And you want to see it unfold.
Yes,
you just,
why will you watch the World Series if you watch it, if you're into baseball?
Right, because, like, we're not saying nobody cares of... Like, nobody's wondering who Vince McMahon's kid is going to be. There's some people
but
who do wonder.
But you're not going to spend for $40
right.
because of it. That's
but you're not
point.
Going to pay to
yeah,
find
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Well, you know, and that's my point about anything, about Abyss killing his mother, his father,
mm-hmm.
or Eric Young buying condoms.
Right.
You know, come on. It's just it's weird.
Excellent point.
You know. So, anyway.
Moving on. Forward.
Oh,
yes.
Speaking of with TNA, though, I guess they. I guess the Brock Lesnar thing, they're talking to Lesnar.
Yes. They're having some talks with Lesnar. They've already met with him, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess it's Kurt Angle who initially got them talking.
Well, I'm going to say, you know, to me, Brock, he really picked up. I will also tell you that when he went up to the main roster at WWE, I was among those who thought it's too early yet for him. But he caught on well with the veterans when he got a chance to rub elbows with them up there, work with them.
Mm-hmm.
He caught on quickly. He was elevated, and right now would be a dominant force in that company had he have stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think he will do well with TNA? I don't know. That's kind of up to them, and so far their track record is not real strong.
Right.
And dealing with the people that they've had, let's face it. I would have thought the Joe Angle thing would have been, but they beat it to death, and it means nothing right now.
Right, it's not the competitor or It's the storylines and it's the way they use them. Now,
yeah,
Joe
exactly.
Angle,
well, you know, it's again, you can have an all-star football. Everybody on the Bengals or the Colts or the Ravens or whoever can have a million all-stars on their team. But if the coaching staff, the front office that's putting them together, don't utilize them in the properly, then they're not going to win.
Right.
And there is the problem, am I saying that Kurt Angle wasn't a good worker? I'm saying he was. I wasn't always excited the way he was utilized in the dorky thing.
Right.
To me, again, when you've won an Olympic medal, gold, I don't care if it's gold, silver, or bronze, there's some dignity to that. Mm-hmm. And the character, whether it be fictional or not fictional, should have some dignity.
Right.
I think he was misused in WWE to a certain degree as well.
But not this bad.
No. And you've heard me say about what I thought about Joe as one of the top young brains in the business, and what I think he should how well he should do. But again, it's not what they are or what their potential is. It's how the people pulling the strings are utilizing them, and it's just not good, man.
All right. Guys, we've got a lot more news coming up, and of course we're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game. SummerSlam's coming up this weekend, and Les and I are going to make our predictions on that. You can go ahead and play along with us wherever you're listening. Rosie's going to be here with us tonight, of course, the former WWE's Rosie.
Maddie Anoy.
Maddie.
Yes.
And he's going to be with us talking about Fat March, his career with WWE, working out in Japan, all that kind of good stuff. But after this break, we've got Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four newsletter. He's going to be with us for Hot Topic. A couple notes that I wanted to get out here before we take this break. Once again, going to remind you that we're going on hiatus for the first couple weeks of September. But last week's episode, guys, we had
That'll be posted on the website, like you took down the fact that I won't be in Detroit this week on my website, right?
Right.
What I'm saying here, folks, is he hasn't done that, like he told you last week. Well,
right.
Get that down. Well, if you happen to be on that website, I'm not going to be in Detroit, but you wouldn't know that to look at my website.
I completely forgot about that. Sorry, Les. I will take care of that right after the show.
So if those of you listening know we're going on hiatus the first 2 weeks of September, my suggestion would be verbally and physically tell everyone that might listen to the show. Otherwise, there will be people tuning, trying to get a hold of us.
All right. It'll be on our schedule. It'll just say no show that week or whatever.
Okay.
But, yeah, if you're listening to the show right now and that thing about Detroit is still on Les's website, if you're listening on the replay, then I'm in trouble right now.
It is on there, and unless it magically took itself off there.
No, but see, if they're listening in a couple days from now and it's still on there, then I'm in trouble.
Then we won't be on hiatus for 2 weeks. We'll be on hiatus forever.
Last week.
I'm not an engineer, bad or good.
Last week we had an audio mishap or something. We had the half of the episode. The episode ended pretty much after the Gary Wolf interview. So we put that half of it up because we had problems with the archiving system. One of our listeners did record the entire show and sent it to me. That will be up.
Well, bless their heart, whoever that may be.
Yes, thank you very much. And that will be up tonight. So if you go to the archives.
We should also say that no matter what the sign said on SmackDown, we are not running for president and vice president of the United States.
We're not?
However, I would take some of the under-table money that those people get.
I think we should think twice about this, Les.
Listen, I know I'm ignorant, and I know they are, too. I just don't want to prove mine to the whole world, okay?
All right. There you have it, guys. But, no, that was really cool of the fan to bring the sign in. Guys, bring more, man. Send them to us if you get something on TV.
don't start this, or I'll be getting a phone call from somebody I know saying, why are these people showing up?
No, don't
and
take.
I'll say, let me give you a number in Bicknell, Indiana. Okay?
Don't take a less young for president sign.
Call my friend Mark.
Just take a WrestlingWeekly.com sign. That's all. So fans can know about us. That's all I ask. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Brian Alvarez is going to be with us, guys. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website, and also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you here at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our official, semi-regular, hot topic correspondent. He is, of course, the editor of Figure4Online.com and the co-host of Wrestling Observer Live Radio. Brian Alvarez with us. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Where else have you been the official semi-annual whatever?
I mean, this guy's got a lot of titles. I mean, if I talked about everything the guy does...
We're going to start out by drug testing, Doc.
I would just finish, and then he'd be like, thanks for having me on. Bye. You know?
So you got plenty of rain up there in Seattle, Brian?
Yeah, it's been raining nonstop all summer. It sucks.
All right. Thank God there's a dome for the baseball team, and I know you don't follow them, but...
Yeah, thank God.
So I guess the big story this week is it's coming out that I guess now two separate sides of Chris Benoit's extended family are going to have to see who's going to get this inheritance. Now tell us a little bit about this.
Well, it's time for the estate battle, and the way the law works, there were three people killed, one murdered two of them, and the law states that the murderer is legally considered the first person to die because they don't want his family or his heirs immediately getting his estate because he committed murder and killed himself. So anyway, it comes down to either Nancy's family or Daniel's family, and she didn't have a will. So if she died first, that means her estate would have transferred to Daniel, which means when he died, the estate was going to go to, I guess, his heirs, or his next of kin, which would be Benoit's other two children in Canada, I believe David and Megan. And if David died first, then Nancy's family would end up getting the estate. So according to what the coroner believes, she died first, which means the kids in Canada are going to get the estate. And Nancy's family is meanwhile arguing that we don't know for sure. We need further investigations. Daniel may have died first, who knows? And thus, you know, the inheritance would go to us. So that's currently where it's at right now.
So where do they go next from here? What's the next step in determining the times of death?
I presume they go to court and they talk to all of the experts, and the judge makes the decision. The bodies are already disposed of. There's really nothing more that can be done as far as investigations. And it doesn't look good for the family because, I mean, the coroner's pretty much insistent that he's got the timelines right.
Right.
And I don't really know what else can be done. I don't see them having a lot of evidence to prove otherwise.
It's really a shame that this is being drug on the way it is it not? I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it's... The whole thing's sad, and it just it's sad that it's come to this, but it's almost, I don't know. Some people will be upset with the Nancy Benoit family just saying, you know, give it all to the children and that sort of thing. But you know, there are a lot of family issues, and the Nancy Benoit family did have their daughter and their grandson taken away from them, and I'm sure they're very angry about that.
Right.
And sure. You know, it's hard to really fault anybody in a situation like this because it's everybody else who is not, you know, directly involved looking at it from the outside and making judgments. And when you're right there in the middle of it, I'm sure it's very difficult. And people are very angry and very sad, and things happen.
Yeah.
Is there any talk or any speculation that Nancy Benoit's family might file a civil suit against the estate?
I've heard many things of that nature, but I don't know. I couldn't tell you anything. Just,
you know,
a lot,
Ron,
of rumors.
I said at the top of the show, I said myself among them, have wondered out loud over the years, or hoped that our business would get mainstream press, and now we're getting it, and we wish to hell we didn't have it.
Right.
Yeah, this is the worst sort of press to get, and it's funny when you think about the fact that this tragedy got the most mainstream press for wrestling that there's ever been in the history of this business, and for many weeks, until the return of Vince McMahon, it hurt business. I mean, the Raw ratings went down, and pay-per-views apparently were suffering, and it's just interesting that in light of all of that, TNA decided to bring in a controversial figure with this idea that if we get mainstream publicity, even if it's bad, it's going to help our numbers. And, I mean, this isn't even looking back to 1998. This is looking back to 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was obviously a failure. I mean, it's the old saying that any publicity is good publicity. It has been proven many times that that is not the case. And I don't know.
It's definitely proven it now.
The wrestling business is just amazing lately.
So
and not in a good way.
Right. Yeah. And I guess on the cusp of this, Mr. Kennedy, Ken Kennedy, WWE, did an interview with The Sun in the United Kingdom where he admitted to taking steroids in the past until the wellness policy was put in place, until he ran into the wellness policy from WWE, because he said, you know, having a job with WWE is more important than, you know, 10 extra pounds of muscle.
Yeah, I wrote about 5,000 words on that interview.
Really?
And, you know, when he was on Greta, okay, this interview was an improvement because when he was on Greta, it was nearly all lies. Mm-hmm. This was a mix of lies and truth. And it was the old Hulk Hogan interview where you tell a little bit of the truth and you get people thinking you're telling the truth about everything when in reality you're still lying about a lot of stuff. And he did have his facts straight, or straighter than they were on Greta, that's for sure. But even things that he wasn't lying about, there were things that he had been told that if you really do any sort of investigation whatsoever, it's pretty obvious that what you've been told is not the truth. And I guess just one example was, he claimed on Greta that it was a 4-to-1 limit and that was it. And it's actually between 4-to-1 and 10-to-1 they investigate you. He now knows that.
Right.
And he was explaining, well, Dr. Black came in and explained that some people are 8-to-1, so it's important to have this window here. And, I mean, if you do any investigation into this situation, almost nobody in the world is 8-to-1.
He means 8-to-1 naturally, right?
Yes, 8-to-1 naturally. I shouldn't say almost nobody in the world, but it's, I mean, if you took a bunch of freaks, it would be 1 in 300 was the study that I saw. And you've got 79 people in the WWE locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And this would mean that if you took the entire WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor locker room, and you put them all in a room together, you might get one person that is above a 6-to-1 naturally. So the idea that you can have this window in WWE because you may have a number of guys that are naturally above a 4-to-1, it's completely ridiculous. And I think I'm very interested in seeing what is handed to Congress, because WWE did write him a letter this week and said we're going to hand over everything in this. I'm just interested in seeing what they're going to say about what they receive, because obviously there are major flaws in this policy.
Brian, don't you think that, too, in a situation like this, that what is fed to this, whoever the person happens to be that's going to be making a statement, is you figure that the people listening, which is the case, Lord only knows, the people listening won't have a clue what the hell he's talking about anyway.
No, I mean, that's the whole game in pro wrestling.
Yeah. Well, but the whole steroid thing, from my involvement with bodybuilding, or just, you know, well, drug testing in general, you know, they're talking about all the, you know, for the last 15 years that I'm aware of, you can buy kits that will beat a drug test. You know,
sure,
I mean,
yeah.
When I say you can buy, I mean you can buy. You don't have to be an athlete, right? You know, you don't have to know anybody special. It's just that the general public, I think it's such a farce when I hear political people getting ready to run for office and talking about the war on drugs. My God, that's been ongoing for 1,000 years. We've thrown billions of dollars down a dark hole and it hasn't changed a thing. But it's something that the public catches, and if you can pacify them or fire them up, whatever whatever efforts you're putting forth, then that's all that seems to be important at that particular time.
Well, the interesting thing about the WWE policy is you don't even have to really buy a kit to pass their test.
Right.
There are enough loopholes in it that you can pretty much be prescribed the drugs. And that's the magic. I mean, it was one thing in WCW. I mean, Luger has now gone on record saying, yeah, I passed the testing in the mid-90s because I cheated.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But nowadays, you don't even have to cheat. I mean, they make it easy for you. I mean, you'll have guys that will say, man, you know, what they're taking now, legally prescribed testosterone, we would have killed for that. And it's just, you know, it's something's wrong. So.
And meanwhile, TNA's drug policy is a big secret.
It's a big secret to the people in charge.
They don't know what's going on. I guess Matt.
Well, you know, there's a comment. You know, you just opened, well, I won't say a can of worms there, but Dixie Carter or someone from that office has made a statement in the past that what they did was, since they're a privately held company, what they did was strictly their business. But again, if the United States government is sticking their nose in, then it's all of a sudden doesn't just become their business. It's going to become the government's business. And all they can say is, well, we don't have a policy. If we see somebody staggering around and can't find their way to find the exit door, then we may have opportunity to find, you know, to check them or to send them to someone to do the checking.
Well, I mean, it would be one thing if TNA was a teriyaki stand and it was just a little tiny little building in the middle of Nashville with two people working there or whatever, but they're now a big organization. They're involved in interstate commerce. They're now worldwide. And you can't get away with it by just saying, well, we're a private company and that's the way things are. So they need to come up with something. And they've been, you know, they've been talking for a while about coming up with something, and I think at some point they're going to have to. But it's just, it's pretty sad to me that it took something like this for you to, and I'm not just blaming TNA because WWE is the same way.
Right.
And a number of other companies just never will have a policy. But, you know, it's to have something like this occur to make you create a drug policy, despite the fact that so many guys have died, the actual deaths weren't enough to make you think, maybe we should change something here, but rather, now you might get in trouble. It's just pretty pathetic.
All right. I guess Matt Bentley did an interview last week, said that he had never been drug tested during his entire time there.
Come on now.
And he's never seen another wrestler being tested either.
That's ridiculous.
This is what the man says.
Well, he's on our show tomorrow, so I expect a good hour of ranting and raving. Young man Bentley.
Is that going to be the Figure Four Daily, or?
That will be Figure Four Daily, yes.
Figure Four
Young
Daily.
Vinny will not be involved with this one.
All right, so check it out, guys, figure4online.com. Question from the chat room. Somebody
Why
said
was
that...
last night's Carlito match so horrible?
No.
And he sucks.
It says the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame is considering removing Benoit upon 60% or more reelect votes. Why the need for this?
Well, I think people feel that he was inducted into the Hall of Fame and he murdered his wife and his child, and mm-hmm. thus perhaps he deserves to be taken out of the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And it's 60% is the number to get in. So the deal is next year there's going to be a vote to vote him out,
wow.
And if it gets 60%, he will be out. Now, I can tell you that somebody on our website did, obviously, an informal poll, but they put up the same poll. Should Chris Benoit be removed from the Observer Hall of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, this is 7 weeks after this all went down, 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was greatly in favor of not removing him.
Okay.
I mean, the percentage of people that wanted him removed were very, very low.
Let me say again, good. I will say that I am one of the people that is fortunate enough to be allowed to vote in the Observer every year for the Hall of Fame, and those votes are kept private, and I appreciate that. But I will say this, I read that, and that's going to happen next year, and I will tell you now what my vote is next year, and I'll tell you next year what my vote is.
Mm-hmm.
He stays.
Right.
And end of story, and it's not even something I would just, you know, it's...
I guess somebody brought up that compared to, like, entertainment tragedies like this, like Natalie Wood or somebody like that, that, you know, terrible things happen, but it really doesn't have anything to do with what they did, how they performed.
Let me give you an example here, and I know Brian doesn't follow baseball, but, you know, I live here in Cincinnati, and the whole Pete Rose schmoz.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the west side of the city must think that Pete could walk the Ohio River without a bridge, but Pete's a liar and a pain in the ass and a bunch of other things. Now, is he the hip king? Yes. And my stance has been, should he, you know, he bet on baseball, which is totally, what's wrong, you know, and as you know, the Black Sox scandal years ago, those guys were banned from baseball, and I'm totally in favor of him being banned. Now, as far as the Hall of Fame, I've said, put him in. I just don't want to see him standing up on a podium preaching his, you know, the gospel according to Pete Rose, because mm-hmm. he's full of crap.
Right.
He's lied from day one until he got a chance to sell a book, and then he thought, well, I'll tell the truth now and sell a lot of books. I have no use for them as a human being. But yes, he's got he's the man who has more hits than anybody else in baseball,
right.
And I think you identify that. It's like with Barry Bonds with the home runs. Did he take drugs? Hell, probably. But like I said earlier, if you can't hit a major league curveball or a 95 mile an hour fastball, I don't care how many drugs you take.
Right.
Again, until he's proven guilty, I think, the Bonds thing stands, but it's still, he's hit that many home runs, whether he did it with drugs or he didn't do it with drugs. But
well, I think one thing also is the thing with Pete Rose is he didn't kill anybody.
Right.
And the comparison that a lot of people would make would be O.J. Simpson. And I think it's also interesting when you mention Barry Bonds that there are people that don't want his record to stand because they feel he has taken steroids. Now, I believe that next year Benoit is not going to be voted out of the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I would think that it'll actually be a percentage under 20% that vote to get him out. But it's an interesting thing to discuss.
Yeah.
You're right about not Rose and him not killing anybody. But of course, if you see a highlight from USC's football seasons when Simpson was there, you'll see Simpson in him. He's still anything that he's done in the NFL, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he was by the jury, said to be innocent. And of course, everyone still thinks he's guilty. But of course, again, the thing with Chris is obviously pretty cut and dried too.
Right.
But I just think that his wrestling ability is his wrestling ability. If you're judging him on character, then I would say that we pretty much would have to banish quite a few of the people.
That is a good point. Not everyone has committed murder, but if you are going to start eliminating people from the Hall of Fame because of shady backgrounds.
Yeah,
you ain't gonna have much of a Hall of Fame.
Then it's gonna be a pretty empty hall.
That's a good point. Before we get out of here, Brian, I want to get your take on this. Last night I was watching Raw, and of course they had Maria and Ron Simmons' final big date. And I noticed a few weeks ago when they did the dating game, and Ron was saying everything that rhymed with damn, and that was all that came out of his mouth. Everybody thought it was funny. Last night, dead silence. Through the whole thing. Did you notice that? Or
I don't. Well, the crowd sucked, so I can't say it's bombed yet. I don't know. I liked last night's skits, although I thought it was sort of anticlimactic to the end. But
right.
I don't know. What can you do? But more than that, I just wanted to mention very quickly that what I really think is one of the big stories of the week was how much horrible programming and horrible pro wrestling that we saw in the last 8 days. Between a horrible ECW, a wretched TNA, the worst SmackDown in months, and the worst SmackDown main event in history, and Kennedy and Carlito last night, this was almost too much for me this week.
I agree. It made you think twice.
What was the SmackDown main event? Because I'll be honest with you, I did not watch SmackDown last night.
This is a show that you should get just to see how bad professional wrestling can be in 2007. We had Michelle McCool. I don't even remember who she wrestled. I think it was Victoria. All I remember is Michelle was beyond first day of wrestling school bad, and they actually taped the match twice, so the one we saw was the better version. And this was followed by the main event of the Great Khali versus Kane
in an
8-minute encounter, and it was seriously the worst match in the history of SmackDown. It was so bad.
Does it compare to...
And then Kennedy and Carlito last night!
does the SmackDown main event compare to you in any way to I guess the matches from the 80s where there wasn't a lot of technical
wrestling?
No,
this was significantly worse.
It was worse.
Far worse.
Okay.
This was a match that was so bad you could not watch it and even pretend that wrestling was real.
I was looking at the sign in the background. I wasn't really paying attention.
The hell of it is, I think when you're talking about Khali, it doesn't matter who you put him with. You can't suspend your disbelief. It's utterly impossible.
He's had some acceptable matches with like Michaels, Cena, and Ric Flair, and last night was or Friday night. And the worst part about Friday night was they taped Saturday night's main event on Monday,
right?
And they had Kane and Colleen a tag match, and they were horrible in that match. And somebody apparently watched that and thought this would be a great main event for SmackDown. These two alone. And it was abysmal.
So what you're advocating then is drug testing the creative people.
I strongly, yes, I strongly endorse that idea.
I don't know. I don't have anything. I've got nothing.
Well, we've got the main event Sunday, which we can all look forward to, of Batista and Kane, or I'm sorry, Batista and Kali mm-hmm. in a singles match, which mm-hmm. should be atrocious.
Wonderful.
Well, you know, and when I said there's no leader there, there's nobody. That's something that the business is sorely in need of. That was one of the things, Brian. We've got Maddie is going to be on with us tonight. When the publicist mentioned his skill set, I went ballistic. I told Doc, and I said it on the show, and I'll say it now again, if half the roster of both those shows understood their way around a ring and knew how to put a match together like he did, the company would be 100 times better off. That's where the teaching of shtick and how to read a promo and how to have a stupid gimmick is killing the business, because when the leaders are gone, there's obviously even a cattle stampede has a leader, and our business is losing those guys because nobody's being taught to lead. That's the sad part.
They need to get Earl Hebner back to call that match.
Definitely. Brian, I want to thank you for being on tonight. We're out of time. But we'll see you again in a few weeks. Guys, check out figure4online.com. It's going to be a good one tomorrow.
That's right. A brand new free show up today, so check it out.
And always check out the Brian and Vinny show. It's a ton of laughs.
And it's free.
That's right. And it is free. There's a free one up today, figure4online.com.
All right, Brian, we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Brian.
Guys, we're going to take a break. We come back, we got more news for you. We're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game for SummerSlam. All that good stuff. Of course, Matt's going to be with us. Stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back, guys.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher, back with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. Les, you and I, sir, we are going to play the SummerSlam pay-per-view prediction game in just a little bit.
I'm all Twitter.
I know, because, it's been close this year, I guess. You've been winning a lot of them. I've been winning a lot of them. I think it's pretty neck and neck for the year, but we've got a lot.
You haven't kept count, which means I must be ahead.
I haven't kept exact count, no.
If you were ahead, we would know exactly.
When we played this game last year, you barely ever won. That's how I knew I was ahead.
Oh, okay.
But this year, you've been kicking a lot of butt, so we're going to have to see.
Well, I don't know if that's good or bad, but anyway.
Well, you're getting the hang of it, at least.
Yeah.
More news, guys. Former WWE ECW star Shelley Martinez, of course, you remember her as Ariel in ECW. She's going to be featured as a contestant on a reality show on the Fox Reality Network. It's called The Search for the Next Elvira.
Uh-huh. Well, let me mention to you, too, that Stacey Keibler, a show that my wife and I watched this last year, which was a replacement show, but it's being brought back, and it's very, very good, called October Road. I read yesterday that Stacey Keibler is going to be on that in several episodes this next fall.
Cool.
Yeah.
Also in reality show news / wrestling news, the new season of Survivor on CBS is going to be featuring WWE diva Ashley Massaro.
I hope she's better on that than she is on wrestling.
We're going to have to see.
If not, she'll be gone the first week or two.
It's Survivor China this year. It's going to be in China.
I read somewhere where she told him that she was throwing 15 feet often, and I thought, wow, I doubt it. She couldn't take that kind of bump. I'm sorry. No, she couldn't.
Survivor is going to debut September 20th. The Search for the Next Elvira is going to be on Fox Reality Network. That starts October 13th, guys. According to a new report, Booker T is expected to sign a new 3-year deal with WWE very soon. There was talk that he was possibly going to leave the company if he was traded to ECW, but I guess he's happy with the decision now to be put on Raw.
Well, I heard that Book was planning on retiring this is a year or more ago, within a year or so, so maybe not.
Maybe.
And I guess, if he's healthy and if things are going well his way and the money's there, it's not like he's an old guy.
Right.
42, 43, I think.
He's got
a couple good years.
Yeah, I sort of like the fact, and I think this is what's going to happen, that he'll be dropping the King moniker after SummerSlam.
Because the King of Kings is returning, right?
Yes. But I think the whole King thing was, entertaining. It was, it was amusing, but I think it's really run its course.
Yeah. Well, he honestly doesn't need it. I think, he and Charmel can get over without it. So, we'll see.
So I'm definitely happy for that. Former WWE star Rene Dupree, who was recently released by the company, is now working for the Hustle promotion in Japan under the ring name Rene Bonaparte.
Okay.
Yes, Napoleon's cousin, maybe?
It's a shame. He can't use Dupree because that was the name his father used.
Mm-hmm.
Emil. Yeah. Anyway.
TNA news, guys. TNA, of course, last week, a lot of you already know, but they quietly confirmed the release of 5 talent. That includes Jerry Lynn, Basham.
They won't talk about somebody who was misused.
I know. Jerry Lynn, Basham, Damaja, Brother Runt, and Matt Bentley. All 5 profiles for the wrestlers have been removed from the roster page at TNAWrestling.com. I guess what the story is, had been reported, is that Jerry Lynn asked for his release.
Yep.
And was granted. Basham and Damaja really didn't have contracts. Brother Runt and Matt Bentley, their contracts were set to expire within a few weeks.
And I think they missed the boat on Doug and Danny, too.
Yeah.
I really do. I those guys would have contributed a lot to the tag team division. But then again, doing the right thing with talent has not been a strong suit of TNA historically.
Not lately. And, of course, I guess they need money to pay Pac-Man and Brock Lesnar if he comes in.
See, the important thing is to have Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah.
He's a team player. People don't understand him. Yeah, whatever. I won't kill the rest of the show on that. But yeah, I've said all along with instead of doing the Cartoon X division, you put Jerry Lynn out there with Saban in a single, or Shelley in a single, or any of those guys in a single, and give Jerry 20 minutes, and he'll establish those guys as top talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, because he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know. And the sad part of it is, you know, he's getting long in the tooth, which is not to say he doesn't have any good years left in him. He does, but to waste him, you know, it's just a travesty.
Mm-hmm. I've seen him live not too long ago, and he can still go.
Yes, he can.
Did you see this story about Linda McMahon doing an article with the New York Times?
No.
She did this article, and I guess...
Oh, yeah, I saw that they did some... you know what? I usually just pass over things like that. you think she's going to... I mean, she's gonna give you the company line if
right.
anybody is, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some silly answer for some question, so who cares?
Right. If the WWE events are geared toward the family. I thought this was an interesting answer. It says, we don't market them as family fair, but if you were to go to one, you'd clearly see a lot of families. We have a cross-section, but it's really almost the same demographic breakdown if you travel the world. Their parents, their children, there's a large group of teenagers and young adults. It's cross-generational. Yeah.
Okay.
But to market, no, I really, you know, a lot of people still accuse WWE of marketing to children, which I don't really think they do that anymore.
Well, you know, see, sadly enough to me, and part of this has to do with the networks, and you can't lay the entire blame, if there is an entire blame, to the companies, the wrestling companies. They are shooting for the demographics to spend money,
mm-hmm.
right, with their advertising, which doesn't necessarily, it's obviously not your eight-year-olds. But wrestling has predominantly over the years been a family entertainment thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. How did Mick Foley get started? Going with his dad, right?
Right.
My mom and dad. That's how I started going to the matches, mm-hmm. with my mother and my father. It was the family went together. And to me, during my career, 60 to 80, that 20 years, it was family. And looking at it from that that point of view, I find it silly that it's still not family.
Right.
You know? Because it's,
Now, I guess she did mention that after the Stone Cold Steve Austin's movie, The Condemned, flopped, which it did, it flopped really bad, that the emphasis now going to be on straight-to-DVD movies.
Okay. Well, see, there's the other thing, is when you have that kind of money, you can pretend to be anything you want to pretend to be.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bodybuilding company that was, I wouldn't even go in, I could kill an hour telling you how that was handled wrong, because I've been on that, and I've been in the bodybuilding industry.
Right.
You don't. There's no children watch bodybuilding, and yet they tried to sell stupid gimmicks, or put stupid gimmicks on bodybuilders, and you don't watch a bodybuilding show for gimmicks. You look at it for biceps and triceps, and the physiques,
mm-hmm.
Which was, I don't know who put that bug in Vince's ear, but it was the wrong bug. The football thing went belly up. The movie thing, it's. People, I have people say, "Well, you're, you don't do anything else." I, you know what? They're right. This is what I'm good at.
Right.
I couldn't even begin to have a trillion of what Vince has in terms of money. money.
Have you seen?
But why, you know, the point is, if you put as much time in perfecting and making people appreciate the art of professional wrestling as you do trying to be something else, just think what this business might be.
Right. Have you seen any of the movies?
No. I haven't seen Cena's movie. I would like to see it. I always thought Austin, when his appearance was on television, I thought Steve did a hell of a job. I really did.
I saw The Condemned. It was pretty, you know, standard.
Well, for what it was, you know, there again, what are you looking for?
It was an okay movie to watch.
You got to realize, during my lifetime, John Wayne did win an Academy Award, but for all the movies he did, they were entertaining, weren't necessarily Academy Award performances, right?
Right.
But he was big at the box office. Clint Eastwood actually has won more Academy Awards for his directing than he ever did for his acting.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I saw the Dirty Harry movies and all the Man with No Name movies because they were entertaining, you know?
Right.
One doesn't necessarily have to, I mean, because something's isn't up for an Academy Award doesn't mean it's not entertaining. It'd be entertaining. Still, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like the old is, you know, dance with the one that brung you is an old saying.
Right.
Where did you get this $250 million in cash reserve, Vince? I think you got it from wrestling.
Right.
You know, so, you know, don't be, I mean, you treat this business like it's a poor stepchild. You know, you bastardize it. You just use it wrong. I'm sorry.
Right.
You do.
Moving on, guys, SummerSlam, coming up this Sunday, the biggest party of the summer, of course. It's the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, so it should be a good one.
It's one of the
big four, right?
It's one of the big four.
Absolutely.
But will it draw that kind of number? I don't think so. And again, your testosterone levels is not that important to me for $40.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this to get a rise out of anybody. I'm just saying it's not.
Right.
You know, Donald Trump, Jerry, I was sitting here watching, I don't have the audio on, I'll watch it again with the audio, but Jerry Springer's on the host of America's Got Talent. I don't give a damn about his testosterone levels either.
Mm-hmm.
He has 16 children legitimately or illegitimately. Who gives a damn?
Right.
Nobody's going to pay $40 to find out.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Springer's show is what it is, the show that he's made a lot of money on it, but it's free, right? You don't have to pay for it. Thank you.
Okay, I will admit
that kind of moves us past that. Now, what do you want to talk about now?
I will admit I've seen some better SummerSlam lineups before.
What number of SummerSlam is this? And you've probably seen, if this is number 25, you've seen 24 better.
Right. But there are a couple of interesting matches that I am interested in seeing.
Okay.
Who's going to come out on top? This first one that we're going to start off the prediction game with is not one of them. It's the Diva Battle Royal.
Don't even ask me. I don't care. I don't even know who's in it. Don't want to know. And you can tell me who's got the most cleavage because that's your bag. You pick a winner, and I'll say yes.
And that'll be the winner.
I don't even care.
No, there are so many people
in
this.
$40.
I don't even want to even start to guess who's going to win a battle royal, especially with these people in it. So, Umaga. Versus Carlito versus Kennedy. It's going to be, of course, triple threat match for the IC title.
You know what? You would think Umaga, but I think Kennedy will probably win this.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Well, if he's going to be the old legitimate child.
Right. I'm not sure about that either. Cause
okay, well, whatever. But
I think that they're going to try to swerve us and it not be Kennedy.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Umaga on this one.
That would mean that there's actually some life, intelligent life on the planet, if they're trying to swerve us.
Hopefully. The next matchup is for the ECW Championship. John Morrison is going to be taking on CM Punk, CM Punk being the challenger in this one.
Morrison will hang on to the title. It should be a decent match. Both these guys have got a good upside, I think. You know, there's a future for both of them.
Ooh, this
I don't understand quite why... Johnny Nitro is now is John Morrison, but and I'll scratch my head about that until they drop my box in the ground. But
and he didn't do a lot different than change his name. He still he didn't do a lot different than change
no,
his name. He's
no.
still the same guy. You know what I mean?
but, you know, there was nothing wrong with the gimmick. But, I mean, again, you don't need, you know, if you got talent, gimmicks aren't really that important.
Right.
But these two kids have got an upside, and this won't be a four-star match by any stretch of the imagination, because they both need to work with guys that can elevate them, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, because, you know, but they're both, well, we're all, I mean, you still learn this business when you've been in 20 years, but, I mean, these guys need a Michaels or a Benoit or a Guerrero or somebody of that nature to elevate, you know, to, mm-hmm. to make the match that kind of match, so. But it'll be a good match. I think John will hang on. So.
Here's my guess. I kind of think that ECW and Sci-Fi are going to start to panic, and they're going to go ahead and prematurely put this title on CM Punk. That's what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
Next up, Rey Mysterio.
You didn't ask me what I thought that somebody didn't know anything would do. You asked me what I made sense.
Right.
Okay.
Rey Mysterio versus Chavo Guerrero.
Well, Rey's got to win this because Rey's coming back.
Rey's coming back, yes. It's going to be a good one, though, I think.
It's not like they haven't worked together before. Yeah, they should have a decent match, there's no doubt.
And if they wanted to, I think they could steal this show.
Well, you know what? You and I might steal this show. That's... You're not really elevating them by saying they might steal this show. I mean, you're not. You know, it's not like this is the. You know, never mind.
You always got to pee in my proverbial cornflakes. World Heavyweight Championship match between the Great Khali and Batista is up next. I'm going to go ahead and go first. I'm going to say that they're going to leave this on Khali.
Sadly enough, I'm afraid they will. I would put it on Batista, but
I would definitely want to give him another shot.
Maybe Khali will end up being the illegitimate child. I don't know.
Oh, good Lord. Triple H in his big comeback. I guess it's the King match. That's not the official name of the match. That's what I'm calling it. taking on King Booker, I guess, for the right to call themselves the King. Jerry Lawler already lost
well,
that.
Well, see, there's an important cog in the wheel.
Right.
Who gets to call?
Every time I think about a match like this and a storyline based around a match like this, I always think back to Booker T and Edge fighting over the Japanese shampoo commercial, and it makes me feel a little better that at least it's not that.
Okay. whatever. Well, I here again, this is kind of like, with Ray Ray coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Helmsley's first time back, and so he gets his hand raised, I think.
Definitely. Next up, it's going to be the big ones, the WWE Championship. Randy Orton going to be challenging for the title against John Cena.
You know what? Maybe they put it on Orton this time.
That's what you're saying?
I think I'll go that direction, yeah.
I am, you know, I really... I guess maybe a week ago.
I mean,
ago.
A lot of, you know, here's the thing. It depends on where they're planning on doing in March.
Mm-hmm.
It determines a lot of things, of course. I have no way of knowing those things, neither does anybody else. But
right.
if you're going to hang your star on Orton in March, then you better start building him now.
Right. But, you know, I guess a week ago I was like, Orton is going to win this. This is going to be the change. This is going to be the big one. This is time for Cena to lose that title. But the build-up just seemed so cliche and so robotic.
No, you're right. You're right.
That it seems
Randy's a good hand in the ring. He's just he has no personality when it comes to promos. He hits a good one occasionally, but it's for the most part it's. Not strong on promos.
I just mean the whole storyline in itself. I mean, it just seemed like ho-hum another championship match is what they made it look like.
Yeah.
And so for that case, I'm going to go, and the fact that you went with Orton, I'm going to go with Cena on this.
Okay.
Just to make it interesting. Guys, at SummerSlam coming up this Sunday on pay-per-view. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be, it's going to be SummerSlam. I normally would say it's going to be a big one, but it just seems like a standard fare for
considering that it's SummerSlam, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. This is normally one of your big four shows of the year, right?
SummerSlam,
and it's not that strong a show. But then again, we have been talking for how many weeks about depth on this roster and how bad the injuries and the deaths have hurt this roster.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see, and you don't get the opportunity to see, is what is more important, not what's being done at developmental level, it's what's not being done. There's nothing, I mean, there's nobody down there that's going to come up and just blow anybody away.
Right.
Not anytime soon, and I don't give a damn how much the publicity machinery turns up and pushes somebody. If you don't have it, you don't have it.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can push until you're blue in the face, but if the people don't have the charisma, the talent, the it, whatever it happens to be, you know, to connect, then it's not going to happen.
Right.
So, and right now, man, they're, you know, and again, if I had the money to, you know, I mean, or I say if anybody had the money and the talent that they wanted to make a run at that, knocking WWE off their perch, this would be the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the roster's weak. Weakest I've seen it in years. And it's not, you know, sadly enough, two of the best talents ever in Guerrero and Benoit won't be coming back.
Right.
So, you know, when will, you know, and it's, you know, it's just, and it's a transitional time, and you got to deal with that, and I don't care what you do, it's the way it is. And I don't know, you know, and it takes a while to build. You've got to realize, well, Michaels will be back. How long did it take Michaels to become the talent he was? Or how long did it take Benoit? How long did it take Eddie Guerrero?
Years and years.
Helmsley? How long did it take Austin?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen overnight.
No.
And there's no young, I mean, and sadly enough, most of those guys had the chance of working territories where they could wrestle 5-6 nights a week. Right, and mm-hmm. against guys much better, and it wasn't just scripted television matches for 3 or 4 minutes.
Right,
which you I don't give a damn who you are, Doc. I don't care if you have a 4-point average coming out of college and have a master's and bachelor's degree in everything, and have an IQ of 178. You can't learn this business from somebody at your level working 3 and 4 minute matches.
Right,
you can't. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn who you are. And, you know, all the brilliant minds and creative aren't going to change that. So, I don't know.
Who knows?
This is not going to pull a big number, I don't think. If it does, it'll surprise the devil out of me.
We'll have to see. It's coming up this Sunday, guys. Programming note, just in case you guys forgot, Raw is going to be on Sci-Fi Network next Monday at the same time, not on USA.
Same bad channel.
Right. Well, different channel.
Yeah, right.
Sci-Fi Channel.
Okay.
We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, Rosie is going to be here with us.
We hope.
Yes, we hope so. Doc Young and Les Thatcher, it's Wrestling Weekly. Stick around.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done, we promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy.
Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you guys at Wrestling Weekly.
Back alone, we might add.
We are alone.
And we left a message on Matty's voicemail, and I said that if he wasn't signing a seven-figure multi-year contract, he better have a good excuse for standing. The chance his cell phone's not picking up if he's in the belly of a wherever it is, they're taping SmackDown in ECW tonight. And then, of course, he may have been called on to wrestle at the last minute for some reason.
Right.
Or whatever, who knows.
So, I don't know. We'll have to get him back another time.
Before, if he signed a contract, it better be before then.
It's going to have to be.
And
so,
we are,
I don't
Sam,
know.
Sam, who was on the Fat March, trained with me on several occasions, and I've talked to Sammy several times since this has all began. We're going to have him on when it's over, because then we can talk about actually how much weight he's lost and some of the other things.
Right, we can really get it all out.
Sammy's wrestling on the independent scene and training now at Chaotic up in the Boston area.
We can put them both on at the same night and have a Fat March episode.
We could do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see how it works out for everybody as far as schedules and stuff.
Yes.
Like, for instance,
Doc says that the guys in the chat room have a lot of stupid questions.
Don't lie.
And I'll give you some stupid answers.
But we are going to take questions from the chat room. It's at WrestlingWeekly.com is where the official chat room is. So come on in and ask us questions. Ask Les if he likes, crinkle cut French fries or regular French fries. It don't matter.
I like curly fries.
I like seasoned fries. The main ingredient says, for you, Les, he has a question. It says, top five things WWE should change or do.
Try wrestling. There'd be a clever idea.
That's number one.
You've got a lot of guys with a lot of great finishes behind the scenes there. Steamboat Arn Anderson, Steve Kern, Tom Pritchard, Dean Malenko, Barry Windham, to name just a few. Let the writers should go to these guys and say, hey, here's where we're going with this. Can you give us some good finishes to move this program forward? Utilize what they have in that case. Get rid of some of the silly slapstick comedy. That would be a second thing, because I don't think it sells anything. It does nothing. It's demeaning. Our business, it has that aura about it anyway. Mm-hmm. So to make it more demeaning just makes no sense to me. Quit trying to sell to people like Doc Young that's cleavage and nonsense like that, because again, that's been overdone to the nth degree.
Right, and Doc can get that other places.
Yes, Doc can get that other places. His bathroom with a Playboy, for example.
I'm not 14, Les.
Well, I'm not either, Doc. But anyway, and I think what Kevin Sullivan said with us here: take your time to build. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's five things, but those would be the major things. And I honestly believe, and if they get rid of some of the stupid finishes, the referee bumps, the run-ins, all the goofy stuff that I've seen a trillion times, they're going to lose some of the young people who find it that entertaining. But you know what? They're going to get back. They're going to also win some new fans who are into athletic endeavor and athletic ability. And maybe bring back some of the people that died and went to hell when WCW closed their doors and Vince swallowed up the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that would be the things that I would say I would change if I were given the opportunity.
I think the building is building up a storyline and building up to a match is something that they really dropped.
Here's the thing: when you can walk, you're walking through the building, and I'll say, well, you know what? I don't like the clothes you got on tonight, Doc. So you're defending your title against Charlie Jones, who is nobody.
Right.
He's been beat 17,000 times, but I'm putting you on, or you're wrestling six guys. And I say, you know what, Doc? You know what, Les? Kiss my butt. I ain't wrestling six guys, because that makes no sense. I'm not totally stupid. That makes sense to say that. Doing it makes no sense.
Right.
Oh, no, I, I, I think the titles and so forth don't mean anything because that's your fault, not mine. I mean, that's the fault of the people writing this stuff.
Right. It's not like there was never a time where the titles meant anything.
No. Again, going to UFC, when they have a title match, they have titles. Mm-hmm. And their titles mean something because they don't, now they have a weekly TV show too, but you don't see their titles. I mean, now you might see a rerun of something from a title match, but in other words, the champion, Randy Couture is not walking through the building and Dana White walks up and says, hey, well, I think I'll have you defend your title tonight because I don't like the clothes you got on.
Right.
You know, that it's sophomoric and stupid, and it plays to, as dumb as I am, it plays to somebody a lot dumber than me.
And I think, a lot of people, if they wanted to argue that point, would say, well, UFC's real and pro wrestling isn't. But
you're
has
still
nothing...
supposed to be selling it as
right.
real, right?
It has nothing to do with it.
Again, it comes back to movies. They aren't real either, and if
right.
you think they are, then let me show you the Brooklyn Bridge and go with that movie. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The movies I watch, the shows I watch, allow me to absorb, to get involved in them and forget that they're not real. That's
right.
The talent. That's the talented people that take, it takes to do that.
Yeah. So good question. Next, the game Hikaru says, what do you think the best year for pro wrestling was for either of you or both of you?
God, I don't know. My best times were my times in the Carolina territory and the Charlotte territory and the Knoxville territory. I mean, I had good runs in a lot of places, but I'd say, let me say for me, probably.
I think he means for pro wrestling as a whole.
Oh, for I don't know. For me, looking back at the territories, I know a lot of people think Hulk Hogan invented pro wrestling. I would totally tend to disagree with you. There's times I don't even think Terry understands what pro wrestling is. I think in territories during the War of Atlanta in 73, 74 was strong for the business. I think when World Class, when the Von Erichs, although it ended up killing that territory, the push for all the kids, that was a strong time. I think during the Monday Night Wars, there was a lot of interest in the business.
Right.
Whether it wasn't all done right, but I mean, that's not even what we're talking about. But,
right.
For me personally, the mid-70s, from 70 to almost 80, it's the 70s, 78, I think, was some of the most fertile time for me, and not necessarily financially, but just rewarding creatively my work in television and in the ring. And so forth, so on. So,
I think I can probably, in my experience, pinpoint an exact year where pro wrestling was probably at its highest peak, and that was 1997. The NWO was still strong; it wasn't stale yet. Stone Cold and The Rock were just hitting their strides. They were just getting hugely popular. There were people in this country and around the world that were watching wrestling that had never watched wrestling before and never watched it afterwards.
You're right.
And I think 97 was the peak of that. And it
but,
was before...
there's been boom and bust periods throughout. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I've been doing this 47 years, and there's been good and bad.
84, 85 was a good year, too, as far as casual fans
coming
in.
Now, creatively, some of the, when Vince made his push to go nationwide, might have been a fertile time in terms of drawing and money-wise for the boys, but it was creatively some of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I mean when you now we're talking about Brian mentioned Kali and Kane, and Lord knows Glenn is twice the worker that either Hogan or Warrior would ever think to be. And as you look at that main event and see anything of value physically, about that, I want you drug tested.
Right.
I mean, no, that was horrible.
But the storylines were there.
But it was drawn. That was, yeah.
Right, because, and the buildup was there.
It was fresh. That was part of it, too.
Yeah, that too.
Right?
Yes.
And in any place, you'll see that when a territory popped, it was because some fresh faces got over and scored. When the Knoxville territory first got television, in a modern era, it was 1969, and Whitey Caldwell, who most of you have never heard of, and I happen to be the first two baby faces exposed on that TV, and we clicked, and with Ron and Don Wright, not the Wright brothers that invented the plane, but these guys were just, and actually never worked outside of that territory to any degree. But we were red hot there for a long time and drew big money, turned people away, and did super business because we happened, we were exposed at the right place at the right time.
All right. Somebody in the chat room asked when Kevin Kelly's going to be back on the show. Kevin will be on as often as the rest of the Hot Topic guys are on, which is like once every 3 weeks, maybe four. So.
Bruce Mitchell's supposed to be back with us. Have you touched base with Bruce?
Not yet, because I'm waiting for the hiatus to end, and and I'll probably have him on.
Well, you might want to call him and tell him that you're waiting for the hiatus to end.
Okay. Is he expecting me?
Huh?
Is he expecting me?
Well, oh, come on, Doc. What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
You said that he would, he wanted to come back.
He said for you to call him,
okay.
Right?
Okay, no, I don't remember.
Would
that
mean that maybe he's expecting you to call him? Well, no,
well,
I don't know.
Well, since he is,
any of you in the chat room that can answer that question for Doc that in plain English that would make him understand it, please write it in all caps. Now, don't, please, don't
capitalize chat, guys.
The beginning of sentences and end with periods. That would be too first grade-ish. But if you can put this in kindergarten language, please get it across to my co-host.
They can have the chat room yelling at me, too.
Well, don't be stupid.
Oh, gosh. All right, yes, I will give him a call.
Okay.
And we will get him on after the hiatus. DeCapo says, Les, in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, who had the most talent for superstardom but never quite made their potential?
Wow. We had a lot of top guys there. A lot of people were upset when Ronnie Garvin won the world title, and I would say that he probably didn't. That was the wrong move in the NWA when he won it on beat Flair for the world title.
Mm-hmm.
We got Garvin over as a kick butt heel, strong in Knoxville. The guys who didn't reach the potential, I don't know, because I thought that territory was booked well. We had guys utilized top to bottom. I mean, you could always move somebody into another spot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had good talent there. I, off the top of my head, I don't know of anybody that when they were called upon to fill a role that they didn't. And, we had angles, like I say, going mid-card, upper-card, all over.
Right.
And that was a great territory, Southeastern. Or Smoky. He said Smoky, didn't he?
Yes.
Smoky Mountain. Gosh.
Smoky Mountain.
Well, you know, Glenn Jacobs came in there. It was green as grass. Al Snow got his shot there. Who didn't fill the potential? The Mummy.
The Mummy.
It was a bad gimmick. The guy doing the Mummy wasn't a bad guy. Just didn't have a lot of experience, and it was a gimmick where Jimmy's investor actually wanted the gimmick. Benny Ramirez as a Mummy years before that was very good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good hand. It was a good worker. The kid doing the Mummy gimmick wasn't that. There were a few, but then again, Smokey, if you really look at Smokey, that was about a lot of guys who had been established earlier on. You know, White Boy, Rock and Roll, Tracy, Bob Armstrong, Brad, so forth and so on. I don't know of anybody that, Candido got major exposure there for the first time.
Right.
Sonny.
Yes.
Only she wasn't Sonny then.
She was Tamara.
Tammy Fitch.
Tammy Fitch.
Yes.
And she did, she announced for a little while out there, didn't she?
No. Well, no. She didn't do any announcing.
No?
No. She was manager. I don't think she ever sat in with any of us. Because I was there with Cottle, and I was there with J.R., and I forget who all I worked that microphone with. I don't remember Tammy ever filling in, though.
There's gaps in my wrestling knowledge that I need to go back and fill, because I didn't watch wrestling in high school.
That was the territory, as far as it was a good place for young guys to, the first time they ever found out that Al Snow could interview was there. He had never done interviews. Past, he'd never been in a position to do. Kane, Glenn Jacobs came in there and was utilized. Actually, it was a good combination of young guys, the Headbangers. mm-hmm. which was Jimmy's idea. You know, for those guys, they got over. It was a good mix of young and experienced talent, and everybody, it was a good dressing room, and everybody worked hard together.
Mm-hmm. DeCapo says maybe prime time Brian Lee.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm telling you. As a babyface, I first saw him there. The first show I went down and did for Jimmy was it was a heavyweight title tournament done at the old Knoxville Coliseum, and that was the first time I'd ever seen Brian primetime Brian Lee work. And he was a babyface with long flowing hair, had a great body, mm-hmm. and he had a tremendous potential at that point. I think once he made the heel turn. It wasn't the same. And then, of course, he got caught up in a lot of personal things. But, yeah, I would think that, maybe that would be a call. If somebody really didn't hit all the marks, that would be the one.
Yeah. Martino popped into the chat room. Thanks for coming in. He wanted to ask a question. He says, Les, I am training to wrestle, and I was wondering what would be the best way to truly understand ring psychology.
To work with those who actually who do understand it and listen, let them lead you in a match that lasts longer than 3 or 4 minutes. Don't build anything in the dressing room. And when I say that, of course, that depends on, I don't know who your trainer is. There are trainers out there that aren't qualified. I'm sorry to say that. I don't know who your trainer is, but I'm not even sure they're qualified. The main thing is if you get a chance to work with somebody who can call the whole match in the ring, lay the finish out, and listen, go for the ride. That's the best way. Sadly enough, in at the independent level today, there's too many of the guys at the same level. So, they don't really know if they're making mistakes. And I say it's not because they're stupid or anything. It's just they have no idea.
Right.
They're actually making mistakes. It's like you and I pursuing something we've only read about or been told about, and left to our own design, we're going to make mistakes, but we won't know that.
Right.
Because, we don't have more experience. And you can't, you can never, working with the same guys over and over kills learning. When I say that, you've got to work with guys better than you. That's the best way to learn ring psychology. And not laying things out in the dressing room, that's a dead end street, believe me.
Right.
You'll never see the masters in this business doing it that way.
Now, sometimes it seems like some of these wrestlers, this is the hardest part for them to learn, and it's really half of it. If you think about it, it's
what?
Yeah, it's psychology.
Well, it's because so many. It's because in the indie level, it's even a lot of the trainers don't understand psychology. They understand moves, right? Mm-hmm. They can teach you a hold. They can teach you how to do a hold.
Right.
They can't teach you why you've done that. You see guys say, "Well, I watch a lot of tapes, and where did you get that move? Well, I got off the tape." What they didn't see on that tape, they'll pick a move out, and they say, "That's really cool, and I need to do that 17 times." Well, that's not what you saw on the tape, though. If you see a guy doing, what you need to do, if you're watching a tape, okay, this was a cool transition. Okay, first now back the tape up to 3 minutes before that transition. How did they get to that transition? Where did they go from that transition?
Right.
But again, if you're not knowledgeable to the business, you can look at anybody and say, well, and I can tell you two idiots are knowledgeable, and you won't know the difference.
Right. See,
that's the problem. That was one of the things that I've said many times, the greatest practitioners in this business have come from my generation. Is that because we were smarter or better athletes? No. It's because we had the opportunity of working 5-6 nights a week, sometimes multiple times in the same night, and we always, the opportunity of working with people who were experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And until you can, two guys, you take a crew of 6 kids, they could be good athletically. But you put them together, they stay together, they never work with anybody else, they're not going to mature.
Right.
They're not going to mature. You can't mature by work. Well, it's just like if you start in Class A baseball and stay in Class A baseball, you're never going to be able to play Triple A or go to the majors.
Right.
You know?
So it's not so much a matter of, I guess, calling it in the ring, even though you
should. Oh, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is a matter of calling it in the ring.
Well, what I'm saying is that when you're learning, you should let them lead you first.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Let them call it in the ring.
Absolutely. If I'd have tried to lead, I wouldn't. I'd be my teeth would have been replaced long years before they were.
Right.
Because somebody knocked them out for me.
Right.
That's part of the respect that we were taught by the veterans too, and I'm not. That doesn't make me mad when I look back at it that I would have been slapped silly if I'd opened my mouth. No, because I, looking back at it, I realized I had no right to open my mouth.
Right.
You know? So
I guess basically you should let somebody more experienced.
Yes.
Get in the ring with
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. You know, they'll say to you, you know, listen, if Bobby Eaton walked in and sat down with you, he's going to say, hey, kid, what's some of the good things you do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he's going to utilize those. Because if I beat you and you don't look good, then I haven't beat anybody.
Right.
That's as important as you know, me getting over, part of the importance of me getting over is me making you look good.
Right.
Because then I have beaten somebody.
Right. And also, I guess, when you're calling spots, I guess you want to plan out big spots?
Well, you want to build the – no. You know, when I say this, people laugh, and some people say I should never say this, but it's good matches like good sex. It starts with foreplay, and it builds to a climax.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I was watching a tape when I was down in Charlotte, the Legends thing, and it was running in another company, and I watched this guy. He did these great suplexes, and then he started chopping this guy. And I said, that's all wrong.
Why is it wrong?
Well, he should have started with the chops and built to the suplex.
Right.
If you're using three moves, a snap mirror, a body slam, and an arm drag, then the sequence of that should be snap mirror, arm drag, and then body slam, because that's the progression. The body slam is more devastating than the arm drag more devastating than the snap mirror.
Right.
Okay? Again, it's how you put the holes, it's the progression.
Right.
Right, it's well. We're talking about good television. If you watch CSI, if you watch Law and Order, if you watch any of these shows that are put together properly, they don't give you the ending at the beginning, do they?
Right, it doesn't start out
and
with them
one
arresting.
Of the worst things I see, one of the worst sins I see on TNA, and I don't give a damn who I'm talking about here. You can quote me. Is they go out and do 75 big moves in the first 2 minutes and settle down into an armbar. They should have started with that armbar. They should have started by feeling one another out.
Right.
They start building to give you something to look forward to. If you open with your, if you open with a climax, where do you go from there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sounds good. Miss Destiny has a question.
Okay.
She says, Doc, who in your mind is the most powerful pro wrestling on air or off air couple? Steph and Triple H. I think that would be patently obvious.
Well, or Vince and Linda.
Yeah, but they're kind of on their way out.
Well, I don't know. I would think Dad would tend to disagree with you there. I think I would, too. I think as long as he's taking a deep breath, brother, he's in the driver's seat. Take my word for that.
That's okay? True, too. Yes, that's a good point. Hikaru says, what is your average build-up program for a star that you want to make a main eventer?
Well, you know what? If you're working the indies and this guy is coming to your show for the very first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put him on the opening match. Put him with a lesser talent. Let him get over strong. And you know, if it's going to be a short, I'm just grabbing at straws here. Of course, obviously, it depends on the talent of the people you're working with on both ends of this.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you're taking a guy who is qualified to lead and qualified to be a top hand. Then you know, the first show he appears in put him on with a guy who he can beat in 4 or 5 minutes, and he dominates.
Right.
Then as he works his way up the ladder, it gets tough for him to win, but he still is able to. Then maybe before you put him with, say he's a babyface, before you put him with your top heel, he has problems beating the second best heel or the third best heel, right? It takes a couple matches for him to beat that third best heel, and then it takes three or four for him to get past. Or maybe that top heel has a contingent where, like, when Dory Funk was Dory Jr. was the world champion. Sometimes his dad would go into a territory ahead of him, and you had to get by his dad or get by Terry to get to him,
mm-hmm.
right? So and realize this: if you're building a babyface, the stumbling blocks you put out there, the more hurdles he climbs, the stronger he looks to people,
right?
The more ingrained they become in his persona.
Now, does he get beat before this main event?
Well, no. But he can get, sure. I mean, if you're the third best heel, you may cheat him in some manner, right?
Mm-hmm.
To beat him, but you don't pin him slap down in the middle, no.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
But he can lose. It's just he doesn't lose decisively or doesn't lose, you know, doesn't get beat in the middle. Like
right,
that.
Right. No, it still has to look good.
Yes.
Guys, Les does do training clinics. You can see the information, upcoming schedules, and things like that. And
if you have a promotion, listen, I feel that I'm qualified to help you better your promotion, your roster. If you have trainers, I believe, give me 2 or 3 days to work with them, I can make your trainers better.
Mm-hmm.
When I say that, I don't feel I'm bragging. I feel I'm giving you 47 years of my experience. I've worked with some of the best in the business, and I feel qualified to say that. You know, I'm interested in help. The Independence is a place. It's a bigger quagmire than the top, and sadly enough, and it shouldn't be.
Right.
It shouldn't be. You should be a place where you want to. It's a learning ground, and the things you just talked about here for the last 5 or 10 minutes are what should be going on in the Indies, and too horribly often, they're a bad copy of what you're seeing on Monday and Thursday nights.
Right.
And they shouldn't be.
Right. Should be a place to
yeah,
learn.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'd be happy to come in and do 2-3 days. I can work with your announcers. I can work with your bookers. I can work with your roster. I can work with your trainers. I work with the whole crew. I'd be more than happy to do that. I've done it with different promotions and would be happy to do so.
Work absolutely. Out you can get more information at epwt.com for the schedule and for contact information for us.
Yes, exactly.
Guys, that's going to wrap up tonight's show. Next week, Alex Marvez is going to be here with us. Also, we're going to try to get Rosie back pretty soon.
Yeah.
If we can. We'll see what's going on with that. But
and after Alex, of course, we'll talk to there'll be a 2-week hiatus
mm-hmm.
while Doc moves into his mansion.
Yes.
And upgrades the equipment.
Yes. After I get the new hot tub.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But
we're running over. We got to get out of here.
Enjoy ECW, guys. We'll see you next week.